This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We said a lot of F-bombs.
Whoops. This is going to be an editing nightmare. Hey there, and welcome to Off Bites.
Sorry, my computer was loading. Maybe we should just start over.
Yeah. Hey there, and welcome to Off Bites. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Chris.
So this week, we've got a theme, sort of.
Why sort of?
Well, mostly the stories are about animals.
Always a good topic.
Exactly, I thought so. But also, one of them is about space.
Animals in space?
No, although that would be cool. Since we talked before about the astronauts that sort of got stranded in space, I thought that we should catch up with them a little bit before we got to all the animals.
But before we dive in, we always want to hear your comments or story ideas. You can send them to me on X, where I'm at Chris C. Blake, or to our host, Mike Rogers, who is at KRLD Mike Rogers. You can also email us at somethingoffbeat@odyssey.com.
You can send us story ideas for these Off Bites episodes where we go through a bunch of weird stories really quickly, or for our longer episodes where our host Mike interviews experts about strange stuff that's happening. You can also contact me with story ideas on X. I'm LaurenBerry91. So, as I mentioned before, we'll dive right into this story about astronauts Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams, who returned to Earth this month after spending 9 months aboard the International Space Station. They ended up spending 272 days more than they initially planned in space. They were only supposed to be there for 8 days. And there's been numerous stories about how they've been stuck in space. Chris, you and I talked about how there are too many people in space. And as they returned, they talked with Fox News' America's Newsroom about their experience. And they actually said that they didn't feel like they were stranded in space. They knew it was part of the job that this might happen. They were the first flight in this Boeing Starliner spacecraft, and there had been some issues with it. And then they noticed issues with it once they got up into space, and they just didn't feel safe, or, you know, going back home in the Boeing aircraft. So they had to wait to hitch a ride back in another vessel. And so some people have been criticizing our former president, Joe Biden, for not going and getting the astronauts. And then Donald Trump, our current president, made a big deal about getting them. Chris, what do you feel about being stuck in space? Do you think you could make it nearly 300 days up at the International Space Station?
I don't think I would make it 3 days.
Me neither.
And if I was these astronauts are much more understanding than I would be. I'd be like, I was supposed to be there for a week and it turned into nearly a year.
Yeah.
Not cool.
I'd be calling the manager about that. Yeah, they seem like great people. Actually, they're very calm and chill about it. I know, like, amid them being stuck in there, I wrote an article about Wilmore. His family was like going through all these milestones and graduations and family parties that he couldn't attend, but they were able to FaceTime with him. So that's pretty nice. We are having problems with our connection from Chicago to Dallas, so I can't imagine the issues between space and Earth when it comes to FaceTiming, but apparently it worked.
I mean, I guess that's a pretty good excuse to miss stuff. It's not like, oh, I have a work meeting or this trip I have to be on. You're like, I'm literally not on the planet.
Yeah, I'm in orbit. I can't come. So for our next story, we're going to talk about weasels. So I wrote about this story over the weekend, and it comes from a study from researchers in North Carolina. And it starts off with Roland Kays. He's a research professor from North Carolina State University, saying that he and other scientists are worried about weasels. Why are they worried about them? It's mostly because weasels are really hard to keep track of. At the same time, they're also pretty important. Scientists use them to measure the impact of climate change, and they have been already on the decline since the 1950s. But because they're hard to track, it's not really clear if populations of weasels are becoming, fewer or dwindling further, or if they're just really good at hiding. Weasels are part of a group of animals called mustelids that also include ferrets. And they actually play important roles in ecosystems as well. So this study was able to find a way to make tracking weasels easier. Kay said that they're not so sneaky. When a piece of red meat is put in a trap for them, they will come out to try to get those pieces of red meat. And they like it even more if there's a bit of salmon oil on it. So he was pretty excited about this. He thinks it's going to be able to help him and other researchers keep track of weasels and know a little bit more about how our changing environment is impacting living things. So, Chris, you did tell me a pretty interesting story about weasel-type animals, but have you had any experience specifically with weasels?
I don't think so. I know people have ferrets as pets, but do people have weasels as pets? I don't think they do.
I don't think so. When I think of ferret pets, I think of the movie Along Came Polly, where she has that blind ferret that's always running into walls. But yeah, I've never heard of having a weasel as a pet. Are you looking it up?
I was just looking up what weasels look like. A cute little animal. It's kind of like a bigger chipmunk.
Yeah, it has like a small little face.
Watch them be like aggressive as all hell.
I think they're related to mink, who are apparently kind of mean and aggressive.
They are, according to Wikipedia.
Weasels or mink?
They are related to mink.
Does it say if they're aggressive? They're secretive, this researcher said.
They are solitary, territorial, and highly adaptable predators, known for
Yeah.
their cunning hunting strategies, ability to kill more prey than they can eat, and storing food. So, yes, they are aggressive.
I think in this article, I wrote it. Why am I saying I think? There is a type of weasel that is the smallest carnivore.
It says they hunt mice, rats, rabbits, frogs, birds, and bird eggs.
What is this small one? It's called the least weasel.
How big is it?
Oh my God, it's so cute. Everybody listening, go look up the least weasel right now. How adorable. It says it varies greatly in size over its range. But it can be 1.3 to 8.8 ounces for males and 1 to 4 ounces for females. That's pretty small.
So tiny, but will kill
Tiny
animals
bit.
much larger than itself.
I think it does hunt things that are a bit larger than itself or at least similar size. Mice, hamsters, gerbils, rats, frogs, fish, birds. Do you think your dogs would hunt them?
Our dogs chase everything, but they never catch anything. That's not
Oh.
true. One did catch a baby rabbit once. That was
Oh,
sad.
did it kill it?
We don't know if it died or
No.
not. We went way above and beyond for this thing. It had
That's
probably
sweet.
had a broken leg because it was
Oh.
only using it. So we kept it inside in a box with holes in it with some t blankets and stuff overnight because that's what the internet said to do. And then
Oh.
my wife drove it up to some animal rescue lady the next day. But we don't know what happened to it, but we did our best.
Yeah, I know. I had my friend's dog that I would walk sometimes was like a stray before she got her and would try to hunt rabbits like when we were out walking. Like she'd get super serious about it and like look like she was going to go in for the kill. And I'm like, we can't do this. There are children. We're in the middle of suburbia. You're not going to be killing this rabbit right now. She would be really bummed.
I mean, I think it's their instinct to chase any smaller animal they see. Like, they
Yeah.
go after s squirrels that run on the fence line and they just run back and forth. Squirrels definitely go out of their way to like tease dogs in
Oh, for
yards.
sure. Yeah.
Our next animal story is about otters. So, we're going to get slightly bigger as we go through each animal story. Ophelia, the escaped zoo otter, is back home, but Louis remains elusive. And experts think he may be searching for a mate. The two North American river otters escaped a couple of weeks ago from a zoo in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Ophelia was captured last week, the zoo said in a Facebook post, but her return was kept under wraps for a few days while she was held for observation. The veterinarian's exam cleared her for return to her enclosure, but she may not always be visible to guests because she's a bit shy and enjoys tucking into things to take naps throughout the day. Who doesn't? The two otters escaped through a hole in the fence during a snowstorm, the zoo says, and Louie remains on the lam. The officials said it is otter breeding season, and they expect that as a male otter, he is likely ranging a bit further than Ophelia did in search of a mate. But they said it's unlikely Louie is too far away because otters are territorial creatures, so he wouldn't want to go too far from home. And they think he's probably safe because otters are native to the area. And they do not pose any harm to humans. This kind of reminds me of a more localized version of Madagascar when the animals escape from Central Park. But hopefully, Louis is doing well. Maybe he's just moving out of the zoo, finding a mate, starting a family somewhere else in Wisconsin.
Striking out on his own. I love Ophelia, like you said, with the napping. Definitely an otter after my own heart. And she's like, she wanted a little bit of a jaunt on the town, and then she's like, I'm gonna go back home. This is too much out here.
To bring it back to my dogs for the second straight story, we'll probably get there again in the third straight.
That's what I was hoping.
But seems like kind of when they've never actually, knock on wood, they've never actually gotten out. We let them out in the front yard sometimes when we're doing yard work or whatever and let them be off leash, and they're pretty good. And always kind of get the sense that they like the freedom, but they're too used to their creature comforts at this point. There's no couches just out there on the streets.
No. My dog used to escape all the time. He did not want to live with us. He wanted to be a wild miniature schnauzer on the mean streets of Chicago. We would have to chase him all the time. My mom has a very funny story about chasing him through the snow. And he loved my grandfather, who would come and like walk him sometimes because my grandpa loved dogs. And he like did not care about my mom and I at all, just only cared about my grandpa. So when he would escape, we would yell, "Grandpa!" And sometimes he would come back because he thought my grandpa was around and he
That's
would come
funny.
home for that. So my mom was like running through the snow yelling, "Lucky grandpa," because my dog's name was Lucky, just like running through our neighborhood, running through our neighborhood yelling that. Great dog mom.
They always love the people that just show up occasionally and not the
Yes.
people that take care of them 24/7.
Yeah, exactly.
Ungrateful.
Ungrateful. They just like want the guest stars. But this also reminded me of another off-bite story we covered about otters. These otters seem pretty nice, like they haven't attacked anybody. Ophelia seems really chill. But we talked about otters that were not in the United States and they had been kind of like making a home in a public park and they attacked a woman. Do you remember that?
I do.
Yeah. So hopefully things don't go sideways like that for these
It
escaped otters.
also reminded me, did they ever find all of the monkeys that escaped in, it was in one of the Carolinas, I think, sometime last year.
Let me see.
How many zoos have animals escape? It seems like it happens a lot.
I know. Yeah, there's been escapes around here. I think like in the 60s, a kangaroo escaped.
Oh, that's an exciting one.
Right? So in January, CBS said all 43 monkeys escaped from a South Carolina research facility in November.
43?
Yeah.
Wow.
They've all been captured as of January 24th.
That's a lot.
That's a lot to find.
And I said my dogs would probably make an appearance for a third straight story. That's because this last one is because we're talking about a dog who met a whale in the ocean off the coast of Hawaii, where a boat captain who recently rebuilt her whale watching tour business after losing three boats in the Lahaina fire a couple years ago. Captured footage of her dog barking excitedly when a humpback whale swam near them and poked its head out to greet Macy, the golden retriever. Macy, who is 11 years old, was in the fishing boat about 2 miles off the coast of Lahaina when they spotted a humpback whale in the water. In the video, which you can find online, Macy is seen barking frantically as the whale nears the boat. The whale's head emerges and it appears to turn and look at the excited dog. The owner had just started a whale watching business when the fires wiped out most of Lahaina, including her boats, equipment, and vehicles. On the day of the fire, the owner and her partner were trying to secure their boats in the winds. When the flames arrived, they had no choice but to head out into the ocean on a boat. There, they helped the U.S. Coast Guard rescue people who were forced to jump in the water to flee the flames. A little tongue twister at the end of that sentence. However, we're talking about this because of the dog meeting a whale, which I think is great. I don't know about you, but when I am laying in bed for 30 minutes longer than I should be awake, just scrolling on my reels, I get a decent number of videos of just two unlikely animals who happen to become friends.
Same. I love it. Animal videos, dog videos, cats, even the odd whale. I'm all for it.
There's one account that comes up for me sometimes that's like a dog and a turtle. That's really funny.
Send it to me, please.
Okay. I'll see if I can find it. I thought this one was interesting though, because it made me wonder, did they know what they were seeing? Like, did they know that they were both other animals? Because these are supposedly two of the most intelligent animals that we
Interesting.
have, right?
Yeah. I'd love to know what they were thinking.
It seems like when animals, or at least when dogs, since we're around them more, like see other animals, they know it's not a dog and they know it's not a human and they get excited. I'm sure they don't know exactly what it is.
Yeah, but they know it's like another thing. We were just talking about they know when it's something they can eat.
Right.
But then there's like other things that aren't like in the I want to eat it category that are more like I'm excited because it's new type of thing.
It's like if you're walking a dog and you go by, I don't know, we've lived in neighborhoods where there were like plots of land that were still clearly owned by people who had been there forever and had bigger spaces and had like a couple horses or something. And you like walk a dog by a horse and they're like, what the heck is that?
I love that. I love that like dogs get so unabashedly excited about stuff. You know, as a human where you're like kind of tamping down your emotions all the time, it's just very heartwarming to see something that's just like, I am so excited about this.
We could probably learn a lot from letting our emotions out like dogs do.
I think so. We should take more note about dogs, and they have like a higher emotional intelligence than humans, I think.
I do think about that sometimes in the mornings, like when I get up to feed them, if I'm like laying in bed, like I don't want to get up. And then they get up at 5:30 and they're just so happy that the day has started. I think they're less excited that the day is it started and more that they get to eat breakfast.
Exactly. But that'll get
But
me up
yeah, that's
when I
exciting
wake up.
too.
Yeah.
Coffee is exciting for me in the mornings.
Same. I was so ex that's what got me up today, in fact.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Off Bites. We will be back next week with another full episode. It's been a little bit crazy, but we're going to get back to it. Baseball season has started, and there is a new look for one of the teams. That is the hated New York Yankees for most people. They adjusted their facial hair policy this season, which had been in place for about 50 years. Yankee players weren't allowed to have anything more than a mustache. So they're allowing beards this season to an extent. So we're going to talk to someone who was a Yankees PR director back in the 70s and has since written multiple books about baseball as a whole and a couple specifically about the Yankees. Lauren, have you heard? Also, the Yankees have been in the news. They're using these things called torpedo bats this season, and they're hitting a lot more home runs than all the other teams.
Oh, great. Sounds fun. You know what I was just thinking when you were introing this? In baseball, it seems like the worst teams get the most love. And I love that about baseball. I think that's fantastic.
I don't know about the worst teams.
Or like the teams that have the worst luck, let's say. I'm from Chicago, and like most of the time when I was growing up, the Sox were better, I think, than the Cubs. But the Cubs has like this crazy following because they didn't win for 100 years, and I think that helped them.
Or when the Red Sox finally won.
Exactly. I was going to say the Red Sox and the Cubs, I feel like, have like some of the most loyal followings, and they were the ones that didn't win for the longest.
I think it also has to do with their ballparks. They have like the two oldest stadiums that people go to like for tourist attractions as much as they do for games.
I feel like baseball too, it's just kind of like, it's more lore focused and like, you know, loving the underdog and not as much about like, we're going to like run and tackle you and win like in football. I feel like it has a different vibe. I like it.
And there's a lot of games. Gotta have more storylines.
Exactly. And there's more downtime, I feel like. Actually, no, football has a lot of downtime. Anyway, this has been Lauren's Uneducated Sports Talk Corner.
Let's do a sports off bites one week, and we'll just make a joke out of it. It'll be fun.
I think that sounds great.
You're pretty good on pop culture, and I'm terrible. So that would be a good one.
Yes.
That does it for this episode of Off Bites. We will talk to you next week about the New York Yankees and beards.
Sounds fun. Thanks, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.